section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Is Adam Rose a disappointment? What's up with TNA? And Dan O'Brien is going under the knife. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So it's official. Mr. Kazarian is a free agent.
Yes, he is. So we had talked about it, with Daniels leaving. Kazarian was somebody who we all thought was going to be next, and it turned out to be true. I think that this is actually a smaller disappointment for TNA. I like Kaz. I think he's really great. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, you see somebody like an AJ or Christopher Daniels. Those are two guys that are probably going to bring in more of an audience than Kazarian will. So Kaz, while it's a small disappointment, it's not a huge one.
Do you think the fact that, because it came out recently that Saban was actually not released, he just did not resign, but they offered him a contract that was much lower than what he was making initially. Do you think that TNA, in a way, is just basically saying that, yeah, here's, we're going to give you this money, but you're going to be restricted on pay-per-views for other promotions, and you don't get a downside. This is just your pay if we use you.
I think in a situation like that, it's, the company is looking at how much they have to spend. They're looking at how much they're bringing in and how much they have to spend. And I think that TNA is, they're not seeing as many dollar signs with some of these people. So, and Andy, I think it's something that maybe we'll spend a little bit more time on here in a little bit. So let's talk about WWE this week. And I think the biggest news was that Daniel Bryan this past Thursday had neck surgery. He came out on Raw. He said, guys, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to wrestle. I'm going to have neck surgery and we're going to see what's going to happen. So what do you think?
Well, it's one of those weird things. It's not as bad as some people may think. It could be something very, very simple. I guess we'll know more when it comes to Raw because they're actually taping overseas right now, which means that we're going to find out early Monday what's going to happen with the WWE title picture. Do you think that they're going to strip him of the title?
I think that this is a tough one. Last year, Dolph Ziggler cashed in his Money in the Bank and he won the World Heavyweight Championship. And then he got a concussion and he didn't wrestle the next pay-per-view. And instead, they had him wrestle the pay-per-view afterwards. And what ended up happening was instead the focus shifted to the WWE title mostly. Right now, you don't have that option. You only have one champion, for better or for worse, which means your focal point of the show, if you choose not for it to be the champion, then you don't have to strip him. However, though, I think in a case like this, if he's out more than 6 weeks, I think you have to strip him.
Yeah, that's the sad part, because you look at what just happened to him. He won the title at WrestleMania. He gets married. He comes back. His father dies. And now this. It's like, yeah, what's next?
I know, right? Like, I actually kind of feel really bad for him, with all this stuff, because he's somebody who, in my opinion, should have held the title until about SummerSlam, maybe a little bit further, just kind of see how business went. But they get somebody that was really hot that they could, have him go against, and even like Survivor Series, you could probably have him hold it till Survivor Series, have a big buildup between like him and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that'd be an option. But anyway, I am very sad about that. But I got to ask Andy. So Rusev, he's been running roughshod across the WWE. And this past week, we had Big E come out and confront him. Big E, Rusev, is this a feud that you want to see? Is this something that you think is going to be moneymaker? What do you think?
I don't know if it's a moneymaker. It's intriguing to me. It's not one where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to see this match. But it's intriguing because, Big E is a big guy. Rusev is a big guy. The match actually may not be as bad as what some people will think it's going to be. But Big E can wrestle. I mean, he's been proven he can wrestle pretty much everyone. How he's going to adapt to this guy's style, I'm not sure. It's just one of those, this is a wait and see, but I'm happy that Big E is still around. It just stinks that they basically Zack Ryder'd him.
I don't know if they Zack Ryder'd him, but I do know what you're saying, because obviously he had the IC title, he lost it. And, what do you do with him now? you know, and I think that's the problem. And I think is the biggest problem within WWE right now is that they have all these really talented undercard, these middle, you know, section that they're not doing a whole lot with, that they're not giving any focus to. And I think that this is a really prime example here, because while Rusev has been going through and taking out, you know, like Kofi and you know, Xavier and all those guys, you know, who are kind of lower mid card. Big E was your former IC champion, which means that, you know, this is going to be a big test where Big E realistically should probably win one of the matches that they have. And I think that what they're probably going to do is they're going to have Rusev just, you know, destroy him. And I think that's a really, really bad thing for them to do. And I also kind of think that this is not, you know, the type of match that I'm going to be most interested in.
Yeah, I completely agree. The match that I am looking forward to, though, is what they're going to end up doing with Sheamus. I mean, Sheamus right now, he's stuck right now where he's at. But him and Cesaro put out one of the best matches I've seen in a while, especially on main event, which that was hands down one of my favorite matches so far. It could be match of the year, but we won't go that far. It was good enough where I sat there and was like, wow, this is on main event.
And was it, you were talking about this past week?
Yes, this past week on main event on Tuesday night.
So I got to ask, so small tangent, you know, Cesaro, I don't believe he was on Raw this week, was he?
I'm thinking.
Because I really feel that we miss Cesaro and Wade Barrett. I don't think either of those guys were on Raw.
Ooh, you know what? I got to look, but I think you might be right on that because I don't remember seeing them.
And those are two pretty big guys, you know. Do you think that they're trying to make main event kind of a pretty big show? I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro, they're pushing him to the top. Cesaro is going to main event pay-per-views, and Sheamus has main event pay-per-views, and they're both wrestling each other on main event, which is definitely – it's not even a C show. That's like a D show. Are they really trying to make this like the next big show?
I think they're doing it to show people, like to sell the network. I think that's what they're trying to do.
I think, you know, trying to, for me, selling the network would be like having Raw on there, you know, like that to me, it would be like having something that would make you go, oh, okay, I get to see Raw right away, or I get to see the replay of it, you know, or the Hulu part of it, you know, very quickly. And instead, I don't know, like main event to me, I haven't watched it. It hasn't been something that has really interested me that much because typically you don't have good matches on there. So do you think then that Sheamus and Cesaro was a good way for them to sell the network then? Is that, you know, something that they're going for?
I guess you could push the fact like, hey, this, you know, on main event, did you see this match? They put out such a great match. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually replay the match at some point. You're not going to be able to do it on SmackDown. They may, you know, in bits and pieces, but on Raw, they might do it and say, gosh, this was such a great match, a 5-star quality match. You know, between Sheamus and Cesaro, blah, blah, blah. If they push that, that'd be one thing. But also, the weird part still to me is that main event, unless it's in other countries that airs on Wednesdays or in any other night, to me, it's weird that they're still doing the show. But I said the same thing about WWE Superstars, and they've never stopped Superstars, which is the other thing. Because when it was on WGN, and then when it went away, it was still in other countries. They still ran Superstars, but just not here in the States. So now you get it on the WWE Network. You know, it could just be another push for the network. The other thing also, speaking of the network, I'm just wondering how many subs they actually have now. Because I saw one person speculate they could have almost 800,000 subscribers right now. Do you think that's a good number, or do you think that's just wishful thinking?
I could see that. I think that could be very realistic. You know, I think I said in our when we were talking about that, I think I said I expected like 1.2 million. I could be wrong, but I said that I was expecting quite a few subscribers by the end of the year. And I think that you are kind of on the lower end. I think you were expecting like 500 or something like that, 500,000. But 800, that wouldn't surprise me. I think that it's good enough value, and I think that what you with the network is worthwhile. It may not be worthwhile where you might have it for 4 years straight, but you might have it for 6 months straight. Take a couple months off, six more months, take a couple more off, you know, so on and so forth.
And that's what I believe they're going to run into, that they're gonna have the time pay-per-views where the pay-per-view happens as in like their sub will end like on, we'll say, Thursday, and that pay-per-view is on Sunday. There will be some people that will wait until Sunday to actually repurchase the network just so they can see the pay-per-view. And yeah. I'm trying to think, actually, I've done that before. I was trying to give you an example, but I just don't know off the top of my head. But I've done stuff before where like the sub ends, and then I'm like, well, I don't need it until this time, and then I'll re-up it at that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
But the one thing that I find interesting right now is that Jack Swagger, your former world heavyweight champion, has gone from everything he's done, gone to the Real Americans, and then now Adam Rose is going to be wrestling him. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that Adam Rose is over? Because people backstage are saying that the crowd's just not into him.
You know, I think the crowd was probably a little confused. I'm going back to Emma. When she debuted and she did her little dance thing, the crowd was dead. The crowd was like, what the hell is this? And when they show replays, they show people dancing in the crowd. They showed people cheering. And it was, you know, with her debut, that was not happening. You know, like that was the revisionist WWE history. And I think with Adam Rose, I think that people maybe are a little more, hey, this is kind of different. This is kind of neat. And they pay a little bit more attention to it. But I really think that we're going to have another Fandango on our hands. I think that we're going to see a situation here where the guy was really cool at NXT. And then they, you know, ran all these vignettes to really promote him. And he's, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of different. It's cool. It works really well with NXT, but we don't know if that's going to translate into working really well for Raw.
Well, you put up the best example, Emma. Emma down at NXT, every time her music came out, the crowd was into it. You'd see them dancing. It's like they knew what was going on, but then she comes out on Raw and then you're like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. And I thought that what they did for her, having her hold a sign up, and they're like, hey, she's from NXT. Okay, well, why don't you so? And I don't know at the live events if they were showing stuff from NXT with that particular wrestler, in this case, Emma. I don't know. But Adam Rose, it seems like he just came on with that character. And he came out to the song World Goes Wild, which they did not own the rights to, which I believe. In all seriousness, when they changed his theme music, I was like, are you kidding me? Why don't you just pay for the rights?
They're using a different song now other than what they used right after World Goes Wild. I think this is like the third song they've used. Because if I remember correctly, the second song was really bad. I mean, it was just like you listen to it and it was like, ooh, that is not – World Goes Wild was much, much better.
Well, this one
I could be wrong.
It's the chant, the whoa, whoa, oh, 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 that was in the second one, but I don't think it had lyrics yet. I think that was the only catch to the song. And yeah, I believe that was I know it sounds really dumb, but I've heard that song before. And from like watching a lot of hockey and the few basketball games, they play that song. Well, the crowd, if they've seen anything, I'm pretty sure maybe baseball and football, they might have done it as well. They'll kind of relate that. Like, oh, yeah, I've heard this song before. And then he had a little thing when it would go, whoa, he would do this dance move. And it's almost like they missed an opportunity. Just pay the 25 grand or whatever it is to get the rights to that song so you can come out to it. And I know that's so simple, but I think that was the beginning of the botch of this.
Well, but do you think – so like as a wrestler, he's passable. You know, I think his in-ring antics will be okay. But – you know, he's a funny wrestler. Let's just be honest here. He is a funny wrestler, and Fandango did not work. Do they think that he's going to? I mean, do you see money with him?
I see money with him because when he comes out, I'm actually it makes me smile And then I know that's going to be something entertaining. I know the match is not going to be the greatest, but I believe that, okay, it's kind of cool. It's a party vibe. You know, you have people come out in the weirdest costumes ever, which I think still make me laugh. Of course, the Waldo character still makes me laugh. And the bunny too. For some reason, I just laugh my butt off. But I believe that you could almost have like a little stable with them as well. I guess I'm just disappointed that they're kind of, it sounds like they're giving up on him backstage. The one to really give up on, in all seriousness, is Bo Dallas. Do something different with him.
You know what? I actually kind of like Bo Dallas. I like the vignettes they've been showing. And I think that depending on what they do with him, he could be a really good heel. Because he is somebody who is disillusioned. And I like those heels. I actually really like them a lot. You know, I like the ones that just really piss you off.
Everyone likes me. No, I understand. You're not really trying to boo. You're saying believe, you know.
Exactly. And like that stuff is actually really funny to me. So I think that Bo Dallas could be interesting. I would like to see how he, you know, translates from a small audience to a big one. But anyway, we kind of belabored that point, Andy. Let's talk about actually, I think, some of the biggest news of the week, which is Damian Sandow. So did you go back and see the Raw pre-show after he said you should?
No, I didn't.
So I actually did. I don't watch the Raw pre-show. I don't watch the Raw post-show. Do you want to know why? Because it's the same thing that you already just saw. There's no extra things that you're going to see about it. It's the same freaking thing. However, though, this week it wasn't. And Damian Sandow came out and did a worked shoot on the Raw pre-show and said, oh, can I get airtime? I don't have to dress up in a Halloween costume. And I was like, oh, wow, actually, that's pretty awesome. And then they had somebody come out and take him away. But then he wrestled that night anyway, and lost, of course, to Cody Rhodes, I believe. And, you know, but he came out and he talked and he said, oh, you should go and watch the pre-show. And then he came out and did a handcuff thing saying, oh, I'm handcuffed. I'm handcuffed on SmackDown. So it sounds like he's trying to do a worked shoot type gimmick. You know, like they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle like they did with CM Punk when he gave his shoot interview, which was from the heart. This is maybe a little bit more of a work shoot. What do you think?
They need to do something with Sandow and might as well do this. I mean, that.
Do you like Sandow?
I like Sandow as a heel. I think that I don't know how intelligent he is, but he comes off that he's very intelligent and he can talk down to people. Very arrogant, and I dig the character. Like even I always look at characters from another standpoint. Like if he went to an indie show, I think he'd be perfect there, and I think he's also perfect in the setting he is at now. They need to do something with him. What better way to do this? You know, something different. I mean, look at Alicia Fox. I mean, she's doing the psycho gimmick, basically, where mm-hmm. I'm better than this wrestler after I just lost to him, which I still find funny.
You know, I actually like that segment, too. Like, there were some segments I really enjoyed this week on Raw. That was one of them. I liked Alicia Fox, which was surprising. And Sandow's thing, I really enjoyed. And those are the things that are going to make me go, ooh, I need to watch their stuff as opposed to I only need to watch the big things. Because if they want to get a fan who, oh, hey, I want to see what's going on with Shield and Evolution, and that's it. And then all of a sudden you see Sandow and you see what he's talking about. It's like, oh, wait, there's some noise over there. I got to see what that's going to say, you know? So.
Oh, I got to tell you something real quick. Earlier, and this brings up wrestling as well. Early, it was on Sunday, I finally watched NXT. And I was watching it, and my daughter was standing there, and actually Alicia Fox wrestled this girl. I think her name is Alexis Bliss, if I'm correct, from NXT. And when she came out, she has like a – I called it like a Tinkerbell thing. My daughter went nuts for it. She came out and like blew like
– She has what?
Like a – it's a weird – they call her – Renee Young called her Tinkerbell-esque. It's one of those, you just have to see the opening segment. She comes out and like blows like glitter basically. And my daughter was like, oh, daddy, can I see that again? I was like, all right, well, rewind. And it was just one of those interesting things. But again, Alicia Fox loses to her of all things. And so Alicia Fox has had a nice long losing streak lately. Poor girl. But if One thing we should definitely do right now is thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a phrase-set builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So MVP announces Bobby Roode's suspension. So why is he suspended?
For his actions last week. But Bobby Roode, they're writing off TV for a little bit. I don't know why. I don't know if he needed some time off or what, but he's just going to be gone for a short while. They've actually done – I found out that they taped a whole crap load. So Slammiversary is in June, and they've taped every show until the pay-per-view. Every show.
That's dumb. You can't do that. That's
I want to say that they had 8 shows taped, and that to me is like, you know what? I kind of liked what you did originally. I don't know why they don't do it still. You know, have it be live 1 week, and then you tape the next show that following night or the same night. I think that's actually one of the best things that you can do, because that way I like watching live stuff, because I absolutely hate watching it knowing I kind of know what the outcome is going to be. Or I can find out what the outcome's going to be. I really, really hate that. So
how come Kenny King didn't come out and say, I'm so good, I'm on both Spike TV and another network, or something along those lines? Why
so
did
anyway,
they do that?
Anyway, so MVP also, he takes on EY after he announced that he was the number one contender for Slammiversary. MVP took on EY.
As a test match?
So why would I want to buy the pay-per-view?
It's TNA booking, dude. I mean, I guess if you want to tease it, this was the way to do it. But I don't know. There's no way to explain this, because it's stupid. There's no other way to explain it. Why do it?
You know, I criticized them for the last pay-per-view because of the fact that all those matches we had seen before. And you're going to give me the main event. What you already said was the main event for Slammiversary, and you're going to give it to me on free TV. That's fantastic. Thank you very much, TNA. Another match, which is going to be at Slammiversary, Andy, is James Storm taking on Mr. Anderson. And this week, James Storm beat Mr. Anderson. So, again, I want to ask you, Slammiversary, I think it's Slammiversary 12, is coming up here in like 4 weeks. Why am I buying the pay-per-view?
Here's my problem with this. And this is to just explain the wrestling business. The reason why you have house shows is because you practice certain matches. Even if it's in a tag match, you practice like, hey, let's do this spot here and this spot here. That's what they practice. You don't practice on live TV. You tease it the entire time. Why was this not a tag match? Why was it not, someone like Anderson versus, well, I guess you can't have Anderson versus Bobby Roode because, you know, he's suspended.
Well, but I think that's a good point you made there. You could have had Robert Roode and James Storm Beer Money take on Anderson and Gunner.
Yeah, that's a better one. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Why not do that? Why not do that? That way you can have Beer Money. You can advertise Beer Money is going to be there. But instead, you're giving away a pay-per-view match for free. Honestly, it makes zero sense to me, and I want to know what the pay-per-view buys were for the last pay-per-view and for this one, for this coming one.
You want to talk
the
about,
other?
I was gonna say, you want to talk about the pay-per-view stuff. I actually read where the group of people gave it 2.5 twice, and then they gave a 3.0 and a 3.5. That was the highest rating they got for that pay-per-view because people bashed it that bad. I agree.
Well, so not only do we have two matches I already talked about, but we got a third here, which is Willow takes on Magnus and Bram. And so Willow beats both of them, right? And there's probably going to be a match, a pay-per-view match where, you know, Willow takes on one of them. But if he beat both of them, what's the point in seeing that match? If you're going to have Jeff Hardy defeat Magnus and Bram, somebody who is your former world champion. And this is one of the reasons I hate these types of matches. I hate 2-on-1 handicap matches because inevitably the one is going to win, which makes no sense because if you're going to get beat down, you're going to get beat down. So I honestly, TNA this week, you know, as good as some of the matches were, the booking makes so little sense to me that I have so little faith in them right now.
By the way, who's Bram? I can't figure it out.
He was on NXT.
Not important.
I don't even remember the person that he was, but he was on NXT.
Okay. So anyway, so let's move on to our weekly topic. So I said earlier in the opening segment, what's up with TNA? They've let go some major stars, AJ, Kaz, Daniels, Bad Influence, Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Matt Morgan, and Devon Dudley, or Brother D, or whatever you want to call him. So those are
And they've let go a lot of other ones too.
And
but
realistically, like AJ Styles, I think is the biggest one. And then I think after that, you have, that's a tough one. Bad Influence. I mean, I would think because they're entertaining to me. Matt Morgan, I think he's done with wrestling, but you know,
I'd say Matt Morgan might be another really big one because I mean, he has the look. I mean, he has quite a bit of talent too for being a big guy. I think that Matt Morgan is somebody who they let go that was like, oh, you probably shouldn't have, you know. Seeing how many people they're dropping to me says that they are having serious money issues. Because if they're not going to keep certain people around, unless they're a cancer to the locker room, which I don't think that these people were, I could be wrong. I don't think that they were a cancer to the locker room. I think that they are looking at their balance sheet and they're going, we're in the red. We have to do something. And that's why Hogan's contract wasn't renewed. That's why Bischoff, you know, he sat out. I think that he might still be doing some stuff with them. There's some speculation on that. But they went and they got rid of a ton of people. And I think that maybe their balance sheet just they can't afford it.
I believe that's the real reason. I mean, I think that's why they threw out certain contracts because let's throw out Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin they lowball him. And he's like, you know what? I'll accept it. But in the contract, it states that he cannot be shown on any other promotions, internet pay-per-view. And then he says, remove that and you have me at that price. Because then he'll get a bigger cut because he gets more back-end money from the internet pay-per-views. That would be interesting to me. Because right now, TNA stars are basically they're shown at the very beginning or the very end of the show, and you can't see them, which stinks.
Now, you're not saying that obviously happened. You're saying, but it would be a good idea.
It would be a good idea if he did that, because if he said like, hey, this is the one thing I asked them to do, and then the deal was that you say it's TNA superstar, you know, Chris Sabin, then it's a different story. And actually, I believe if they did that, I believe that when they go to like PGW or PWS, that may help them because maybe those people don't know that there's Impact Wrestling on Spike TV, which I believe might be the biggest problem right now.
I actually would agree with that. I think that they need to do something more to make it where they stay around and they still are going to get paid a good amount because you know what? You have some really big names there right now still, because I'll tell you what, somebody like Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Ken Anderson, those guys aren't going to be cheap because they're big stars. They were big stars in WWE. They're big stars in TNA. So you can't tell me that they're getting paid, you know, minimum wage. I mean, they're not. They're getting paid a good amount. So some of these other guys like Chris Sabin, he's somebody who definitely he could work Ring of Honor so long as it says in the contract you have to state TNA wrestler Chris Sabin. I would be okay with that.
Which actually would help him out, but you know it's the ignorance, you know, of running the company. It's also the one thing that gets me the most is when your production staff is behind on pay. And see, that's the one thing that's been happening more and more. I mean, at one point, I think they said that even talent were that they were still owed from like 6 weeks prior. And they said it was some clerical error. No, because if you're doing payroll and that's your job, you get the people their money. There's no questions asked, especially when the production crew during last week's tapings, they decide, like, listen, you pay us or we walk. And they're about to tape basically, you know, I think two Impacts and one of their one of the one night only pay-per-views. So basically they have them, they have them gripped. They have them right there. They say, you have to, if you don't pay us, we walk. And then they're screwed because they've rented only this time and then they got to tear it down.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's not a bad thing because, look, at the end of the day, people need to get paid. And if my company said, look, you know what, we're running dry. We can't pay you for this paycheck. We'll pay you next time, though. You know, I would suck. But you know what? If I believe in the company as much as people might believe in TNA, I might do it. You know, I might be okay with it. I'm not going to be okay with it, though, after 6 weeks. To me, that's saying, you know what? We actually don't know what we're doing. We don't have the money. And we don't know when you're going to get paid. That to me says that this is a company that needs to have a good management team in place, because obviously they don't, and they need somebody to come and balance their books.
And the other problem is they brought people from the WWE that said they could do this, and then they get brought in and they're not doing anything. It's still a mess. Realistically, when it all boils down to it, if Bob Carter, when they were about to sell everything to Jeff Jarrett and Toby Keith, if they would have just said, no, it's okay, we won't put Dixie in the storyline, none of this, we would be talking about this. But the fact that that was the one thing that stopped them from, you know, buying the company and basically their tape library, it's bad. But actually, you know, the ironic thing is, I think that if they don't sign a deal with Spike TV, they're done. Because I don't think there's another network that would take them.
I think that there could be potential for another network. I still, honestly, I go back to TNT or TBS, Steven. I think that you could put on something like that. You could maybe even have a network show want to go head to head with WWE. I don't know if like a Fox would. Fox, no. Maybe. ABC wouldn't. CBS wouldn't. You know what? CW had the Saturday nights or Saturday morning slam. So I doubt that they would, but you never know. You know, there's a lot of players out there, and there's people that are looking for content. And if you're telling me, hey, you know what, you'll get 1 million viewers a week, there's a lot of places that would take that. You know, there are. And places that would probably promote it a lot better than Spike did.
That is true. Spike did not promote the product, and that's what the main problem is. But I believe what will end up happening is that they're not going to sign a new deal. And even though they hired a talent agency to help them out in this, you know, basically getting them a new deal, I'm wondering if they're going to end up coming back to him. Like, listen, you guys haven't paid us for 8 weeks, pay us. Otherwise we're not going to help you anymore.
Yeah,
I actually, you know, I said that TNA will still be around. I think I said in the yearly predictions, but you know, their deal is up in October. And if they announce their October lineup, which they will hear in the next few weeks, if TNA's not on there, they're screwed. They have to find another network. And the other problem is that no matter where they go, they're not going to get the deal they have with Spike. Everyone will say, we're going to give you this, which they'll all lowball them. And Spike will either TNA will say, fine, we'll do it, or they'll call it a day or say, we're going to be only on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go with the TNA network.
I could see being on YouTube for a while. So, but anyway, I do wish TNA the best luck. I really want some good, strong competition. And I think that right now TNA is the best bet, but they need a lot of help.
We need a solid number two. And realistically, Ring of Honor, I think, is starting to creep up, especially with them now actually doing pay-per-views. They're creeping up now. And that's saying something, because that now they're places that they're going are selling out with, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 tickets. They're selling them out really fast. In fact, they sold out a couple shows over the next few months. They've sold them out already. And that's saying something for a promotion that they promote in areas where they need to, and they're succeeding because of it. And also the matches are, I think, better quality than TNA. Oh, well, good luck to TNA. I hope that they're still around. I hate to be doing a show about the WWE only and then Ring of Honor when we get a chance to watch it. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and aiding the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.